The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
As a constitutional law attorney, former senior legal advisor and personal counsel to President Donald J. Trump, Jenna Ellis believes in the rule of law and the importance of integrity in our elections. And she's ready to tackle the big cultural and legal issues facing America. This is the Jenna Ellis Show. Here is your host, Jenna Ellis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Jenna Ellis Show. I'm Jenna Ellis, and today we are broadcasting from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where this evening, Governor Ron DeSantis is going to be giving the opening remarks. And he joined me this morning on American Family Radio Network. If you missed that interview, go to AFR.net. You can click on Jenna Ellis in the morning. And I want to talk today to my good friend Joel Rosenberg about the state of American politics, but also geopolitical policy and politics, because we do tend to focus too much just on what's going on in Washington, D.C., some of the upcoming election. I want to ask him some questions about that, but we also need to consider, as it relates to the 2024 election, how we are situated as a country in the context of the whole world. Well, Joel has a brand new book out called The Libyan Diversion that is a thriller that may be seemingly ripped from tomorrow's headlines. So he'll join me right after this. With inflation, the banking world collapse, and everything that Joe Biden is doing not to protect America, you need to make sure to secure your financial health, especially in retirement. And hey, if you're a millennial like me, that actually is sooner than you think. You need to start now, even if you are a millennial or a Gen Zer, to make sure that your financial health is actually healthy when we get to retirement. And Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in gold and silver online in real time. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped right to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar, and this puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A truly diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This brand new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with just a few clicks. Visit legacypm.com to get started. You can download the free investor's guide, and you can also call Legacy PM Investments to talk to a portfolio expert to get expert answers to your to customize your personal portfolio. So visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. Tell them that Jenna sent you. So joining me now is my good friend Joel Rosenberg, who is the editor-in-chief of All Israel News and has the brand new thriller out. If you have read any of his novels, they're fantastic. This is called The Libyan Diversion, and Joel's tweet was on Tuesday, the American president is not paying attention to the Mexican border. Now, Mideast terrorists are trying to infiltrate the U.S. across that border with nuclear dirty bombs in tow. Read the thriller, seemingly ripped from tomorrow's headline. So, Joel Rosenberg, this is so important. And I know that, you know, there's been a really specific emphasis on the U.S. border in terms of policy, in terms of what we're actually doing about it, why governors like Greg Abbott, who are Republicans, haven't declared an invasion under Article 1, Section 10, which they can, how the Biden administration is just allowing for all of this, which I think is intentional. So my first question is, you know, what is in this book in terms of the scope of your novel, and why is it seemingly ripped from tomorrow's headlines?
Well, great to be with you, Jenna, and thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your voice. And happy to discuss the Libyan diversion. So let me step back just to put some context in it for you and for your audience. This idea for the Libyan diversion actually came out of a conversation I had with a friend 2.5 years ago. That friend is somebody you know, which is former CIA director, former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. Now, Pompeo and I became friends when he was in the House of Representatives on the Intelligence Committee, because it turns out he was a reader of my political thrillers and was a fan, and reached out to me and said, hey, when you're back from Israel and you're in Washington, come up to the Hill and let's have coffee and let's get to know each other. I'm like, great. And that became a great friendship. And who knew, you know, that he would arise to CIA and to state and be engaged with President Trump and Vice President Pence in the most important fights of our time. And, so 2.5 years ago, I was doing an event in Washington at the Museum of the Bible, launching my nonfiction book called Enemies and Allies, which he'd been a great source on the record for, and I appreciated that. But I asked Pompeo, would he be part of that launch event? Because I wanted to interview him in front of people and talk about these issues. And so we talked, of course, that night about Russia, the threat from Russia, from Iran, from North Korea, China, everything. But then I asked him, Mr. Secretary, what am I missing? What keeps you up at night that you worry about U.S. national security that I'm not focusing on and many of us aren't? And he said, ungoverned spaces in northern Mexico. I said, okay, talk about that. What do you mean by that? He said, well, basically, the Mexican government has effectively surrendered large swaths of the northern border with the United States. To whom? To human traffickers, to drug cartels, to organized crime syndicates and other bad actors. And he said, this is what's so dangerous. It's dangerous on one side of the border. That's why the Trump administration was working so hard to build that wall and the Remain in Mexico policy that Pence negotiated and all the rest, Title 42, to get those numbers down to near zero, right? He said, but now that the Biden administration has scrapped all of that, he hadn't scrapped Title 42 yet, but he was getting there. And he said, this is a huge problem when neither government on both sides of the border don't want to do anything about it. And the more I thought about that, Jenna, over the next few days and weeks, I thought, oh my gosh, what if terrorists from my part of the world, the Middle East, try to get into all of your part of the world through just not by faking a passport and getting on a plane, just by walking across the border. And what if they brought dirty nuclear weapons with them, not just to bring about another 9/11, but something far, far worse than 9/11? And that idea, that what if premise, chilling that it is, that became the premise of the Libyan diversion.
That's an incredible story. And I think that context especially is so important. And, you know, I've said this for a long time for listeners of this show, as well as my radio show as well. We tend to, in America, focus so much just on local politics. And by local, I actually mean national of Washington. People oddly don't pay attention to local politics, like state and local level. And then they don't pay attention, though, to world politics and the whole geopolitical arena. It's really whatever is happening in Washington, D.C. It's like it's almost like that's the only thing that affects the nation.
Right.
But what you're describing is so important. And I think that was one of the really big wins of the Trump administration, was this emphasis on being pro-Israel and to really have a good geopolitical view of all of this that you're describing. So in your book, of course, you know, this is projection into the future, but how much of this, you know, do you really see as being a potential outcome, especially as we're moving forward in relative uncertainty in terms of the 2024 election and beyond for America?
Right. Great question. Let me come at that from a couple angles. First, to your point about, you know, President Trump, Vice President Pence, Secretary Pompeo, the whole administration, they were pro-Israel. I told the president in the Oval Office, you're the most pro-Israel and pro-life president in all of American history. Like, that is just unbelievable. And you know, Jenna, that I had been a never Trumper until about 4 days before the 2016 election, because I wasn't sure I could believe him. I know you were an early adopter. I wasn't. I was a very late adopter, but I did. I made the decision. I voted for him. And so when I sat with him in the Oval Office, I said to him, I, by the way, you know him better than me, but I don't know how many times the term never Trumper was used in his presence in the Oval Office. Because when I said that to him, the look in his eye suggested maybe not that often. But but I said, you know, one of the things that the never Trumpers have totally wrong is if somebody delivers on all the promises and better than we expected, doesn't that require us to change our perspective, to not lock in on, I don't think he can ever do it. I don't think he's one of us. I don't think he shares our values. That's what I feared. But I made a decision because I knew Hillary would keep all of her promises. And my wife said, listen, you got to take a risk that he might keep some of them. And as I told him, he kept so many of them, fighting radical Islam and protecting Israel, but doing it for America. And of course, what he did on the border, which is great. So the question, the thing is, the contrast between Trump and Biden is night and day on every single issue. And the way Biden has abandoned the border effectively, in my judgment, 5.7 million people flooding in. I think it is an invasion. I think under Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, which requires the federal government to protect the states, protect the people from invasion. In my view, that's where we're at. But I'm not a constitutional lawyer like you are. My point is this. It's bad enough for 400 million doses of fentanyl to get in the country, a dose that could kill every single person in the country, right? And drug cartels and human traffickers. You know, why isn't Biden against that? But what the bottom line for me is, from my angle here in the Middle East, here in Jerusalem, is radical Islamist terrorists have been looking for 20 years for a way in. And now they have a way in. Just this week, last weekend, an Afghan national on the FBI terror watch list was arrested in San Diego, having illegally crossed the border. Now, thank God that he was captured, but he's the 83rd, Jenna, 83rd terrorist on the terror watch list that has been arrested on coming into the United States via Mexico just in 2023. And while that's good to have caught them, that's double the rate from last year. And the question is this: who have they not caught? And what are those people planning? You know, I wrote a novel. It's a political thriller. It's made up. The Libyan Diversion is a great read for Memorial Day weekend and heading into summer. But my gosh, what if it becomes true? What if the Libyan Diversion becomes, you know, prophetic or prescient? I don't want it to be that. I'm not predicting. I'm saying if Washington, if Biden and his team are so blind to the evil that people want to do to America, they're going to be blindsided. And I don't think any American will forgive a president or a party that lets terrorists walk into the United States, bring any kind of weapon they want, and do another 9/11 or worse. There will be no forgiveness for that. But I don't want to deal in the aftermath. It has to be prevented. And that's what the Libyan Diversion, as a work of fiction, as a work of entertainment, is really about.
Right. And that's why a lot of these novels like yours, and why, you know, the entertainment industry broadly, if I can use that term without being insulting to your work, because so much of the entertainment industry is so terrible anymore. Well, but, you know, why fictional work is, I think, so exciting and interesting is because we can go to places and have stories and narratives that pose these questions of what if. And I think this in particular is an important question of what if for America in our current actual reality right now in 2023, because a lot of Americans who are perhaps, you know, tired of Trump's rhetoric, or, you know, saying, well, the GOP isn't my favorite or whatever, are really potentially minimizing the damage that the Biden administration is doing, not only to American institutions, to American freedoms and liberties, but also to our foreign policy and the whole geopolitical framework. And so we have to ask ourselves as conservatives and first and foremost Christians, what can we do about this heading into 2024 and who is the best candidate? And I think that your comment, Joel, is a great transition to a conversation actually you and I had earlier before the program, which is this kind of setup as I see it between really the top two candidates of Trump versus DeSantis. And, you know, while a lot of evangelicals were very concerned about President Trump initially, I remember having, you know, ardent debates both on media and privately with Christian friends of mine who were very sincerely actually admonished me and said, there is no way we can be Christians and vote for Trump. And I was like, that is just not true. And, you know, here's why. And I proudly voted for him twice. And yet we're now at another precipice in American history where it's almost the opposite that's happening, that like you're not a Christian now if you don't support Donald Trump, which I think is also a ridiculous argument. We should be concerned about policy and about who is the best candidate over kind of these personality cults. And I see DeSantis as a rising contender who has a lot of the characteristics, the policy viewpoints, and the wins, frankly, in Florida that would make him an excellent president. And I don't think that we can just go along with this narrative that the Trump campaign is presupposing that the primary's done, it's a foregone conclusion, and a lot of this stuff that they're now coming out actually attacking DeSantis, who in my view is even to the right of Trump on a lot of issues like abortion, which was the primary concern that a lot of evangelicals had. And yet Trump, who was the most pro-life president in my lifetime, and had such a phenomenal win on Roe versus Wade, now seems to be backing off of that issue and embracing people like Caitlin, formerly Bruce Jenner, and, you know, some of these things that actually raise the same kinds of red flags that some of us had in 2016. So where do we go forward as a country with this?
Well, those are, wow, you raised a lot there. And you're right. We had a very interesting conversation about it ahead of time. And then we thought, oh, why isn't that on the air? So a couple things. I already shared how I had misgivings in 16. So I can't say I proudly voted for him. I reluctantly voted for Trump in 16, but became very, very grateful that he dramatically outperformed my very low expectations and proved himself an incredible president and was able to navigate him and the vice president and the secretary of state and everybody else through all the chaos, all the, you know, the Russia collusion stuff and all the impeachment stuff and all the nonsense, all the noise. It's amazing they got anything done, that they were able to get up out of bed in the morning and stay focused. But look at what they got done. But now I'm in a position, so I proudly voted for Trump and Pence in 20. Now I hear a lot of evangelicals, and I guess I'm one of them, though I'm more generous and charitable towards him, towards Trump than maybe some of my friends. I do hear a lot of American evangelical leaders and rank and file. They are exhausted by Mr. Trump. They, you know, it's not that they necessarily believe every allegation against him, but they've seen him make some serious missteps. They don't like that Mike Pence was thrown under the bus. They may even disagree with Pence, maybe. Some of them really do. But they don't like how, you know, the number one evangelical conservative ally of Trump was treated so badly. It doesn't comport with whom we thought Trump was, those of us who came to admire what he was getting done and how he was handling himself in office. So there's a number of things like that. And yes, in the way he's attacking DeSantis. Now, every front runner wants the thing to be over, so I get that. But I don't get trashing a fellow conservative, the governor of your own state, and a man who, by the way, in Governor Sanders, and I just met him and interviewed him here in Jerusalem when he was here a few weeks ago. And so I'm intrigued. I'm not committed, I'm intrigued. And look, I realize, as you do, that a lot of great governors have faltered when they ran for president, right? We know Jeb Bush did. We know Rick Perry did twice. We know Scott Walker did and others. So you can't assume just because you're a great governor that you're going to step on the national stage and succeed. But this is not a red state governor. I mean, he has turned Florida. DeSantis has turned Florida into a red state by incredibly good governance. And that was a state that George W. Bush won by, what, 527 votes or whatever it was, and the Supreme Court. And now it was a 19-point blowout for DeSantis. That's pretty impressive. And I'm giving him a good look. And on my show and on the Rosenberg Report on TBN and on All Israel News, I want to cover these guys. If they do something right, I'm going to say it. If they do something I don't like, I'll say it. Because I think it's too early for anybody to make decisions or to write off one of the greatest governors literally in the modern era. It's not easy to take a purple state, govern it conservatively, socially conservatively, as well as fiscally conservatively, and win by 19 points. I mean, I'm not sure if I've ever seen it happen in American history. So, except maybe Youngkin. Glenn Youngkin, when I got married, Lynn and I moved to Virginia. It was a red state. It became a blue state. Then we left, and now it's red again. So maybe that's us. I don't know. But,
Then don't move to Florida, please. You know, that needs to be.
Yeah. Youngkin proved to us it was winnable. But it took not just policy. It's also a character. It's a style. It's a relatability to independents and to Democrats. That's something that Youngkin has. It's something that DeSantis has. At the moment, I'm not seeing that in Trump. So these are things we all have to weigh, right? We want to beat Biden, if it's Biden, right? They may call her Hail Mary and try to call in Michelle Obama or something. But we need to really see, let the best man or woman win. And one other point on that. I wouldn't actually rule out a Pence campaign. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm going to say this. I had him on my show twice in recent months. And the reason I did is because I wanted to look at it carefully. And I want to say this. And I told him this. Do you realize that no one in American history, no vice president has ever taken on the president that he served with, right? Now, we all know why those two will go at it. But if DeSantis stumbles, Jenna, Pence has one of the greatest conservative records that there is. And he has Trump's record, too. But these two will go head to head, and it may drown out everybody else if they really go mano a mano. And that might be a healthy debate. I don't know. I've never seen it happen, but it will be intriguing to watch and to cover.
For sure. And, you know, one, I think the key words there are healthy debate. And that's what we don't get enough of on social media and in kind of the, you know, 180 characters. I know Elon has extended that now, but kind of the soundbite, politicking now, where it's right. Almost, I think that Devin Nunes actually aptly described social media the best when he said Twitter is mainly just a PR newsline. You know, you don't have the type, it's just not the medium that gets into a lot of these topics and has robust contemplations and debates. And so a lot of the rhetoric that you see on social media and that's mirrored in the mainstream media on some of these news programs that you and I have both done, where, you know, they're 2.5 minute hits where you only right. have your top line talking point, you get your website in and that's it. Right. That's not meant to educate the populace. And what I really think that we need is a call back to this robust debate. What President Trump did that was so very effective was harness the mechanism of modern day media. He can do the right. quick tweets, and he can do the bluster, and he can do all of this, but that's not necessarily going to convince people who are truly concerned about policy. And even our debate style formats now aren't geared toward that. So I think this is also why formats like this show, all of the listeners to my podcast here on Salem Media, to Joe Rogan's podcast, Tim Pool, you know, some of these people who right. have these really long form discussions, that's what people actually want. And I think that that is healthy. And what I would say to my fellow people who love and respect President Trump, who, you know, have voted for him in the past, who still support him, be open to robust debate. Because if all you're doing is shutting down the opposition by trying to just go after their very healthy record, and you're right about Pence. I mean, even though there are things certainly I disagree with him on, he does have a really great record as the governor of Indiana. If all you're doing is shutting down opposition, then you're not actually doing a service, and you are doing a disservice to American politics to not have that robust debate. So I think
point.
That's really.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. That was all I was saying. And, you know, and we're already out of time for this. I wish it was a more long form discussion here, Joel Rosenberg. But, you know, closing thoughts on that and why I think we need to return to, the politics of yesteryear in America. I mean, this won't happen, but I really wish that we could get a couple of these GOP candidates on the debate stage in like an old style Lincoln Douglas format. That'd be amazing.
It would. Well, look, I'm excited about the way conservatives, the way evangelicals are using new media, social media to work around the mainstream media. I mean, obviously, I was Rush Limbaugh's research director. Rush reinvented AM radio and it changed the course of discourse for conservatives. And now with social media, you're right. Twitter isn't ideal. But on the other hand, you read a tweet from me that was 180 characters. It caused you to think, that's an interesting thing. Let's get Joel on my longer form podcast so we could have a longer conversation than an 180 characters. And this novel, I'll close with this. The novel, the Libyan Diversion, and all of the 17 novels I've written, 5 million books, I started writing fiction because conservatives and evangelicals have done a bad job at using entertainment to engage people's imagination and get them thinking about things they wouldn't have thought about. Not everybody wants to watch C-SPAN. Not everybody's going to pay attention to a podcast. But novels, fiction, movies, long-form narrative storytelling has a way of engaging. C.S. Lewis knew that. Tolkien knew it. I'm not putting myself up with those guys, but I'm saying it's an art form that many of our team have abandoned. And yet to engage culture, you need to engage the way people want to be engaged. And in this case, last point, not everybody wants to do nonfiction. They want to be entertained. And so I try to rate the best, most exciting, most thrilling novels that grab you and pull you in and keep you up all night. And success is when someone tweets me at 6 o'clock in the morning saying, I can't believe it. I hate you, Joel Rosenberg. I read your book. I was just going to read a little bit. And I started on a Libyan Diversion and you have these little short chapters and they're so intense and they're so exciting. And I didn't sleep. I kept reading. And now I've got to go to work. I got to go to school. I got to take care of the kids and I'm exhausted. How dare you? And that's what I love. Then I've got them and then I'm holding them and I'm entertaining them, but I'm also educating as well. And I want to do both.
That is fantastic. And you know what? That aptly describes exactly how I feel about my favorite author, C.S. Lewis. So I will compare you to him because I think both of you are brilliant and you come from a really well-founded Christian biblical worldview perspective. So
well, the book higher praise than I deserve, but you're very kind, Jenna.
Well, you are a great friend and a great author. And so the book is The Libyan Diversion. You can find that at Tyndale.com is the publisher, Tyndale.com, or go to Joel Rosenberg's Twitter page to see all of the PR.
Or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you love books, it's there this week.
Awesome. Awesome. Amazing. Well, thanks so much, Joel, and always really appreciate having these long-form discussions and look forward to having you on again soon.
Thank you, Jenna. Enjoy NRB and come visit us in Israel soon.
Would love to. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
With inflation, the banking world collapse, and everything that Joe Biden is doing not to protect America, you need to make sure to secure your financial health, especially in retirement. And hey, if you're a millennial like me, that actually is sooner than you think. You need to start now, even if you are a millennial or a Gen Zer, to make sure that your financial health is actually healthy when we get to retirement. And Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in gold and silver online in real time. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped right to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar, and this puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A truly diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This brand new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with just a few clicks. Visit legacypm.com to get started. You can download the free investor's guide, and you can also call Legacy PM Investments to talk to a portfolio expert to get expert answers to your to customize your personal portfolio. So visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. Tell them that Jenna sent you.
Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt so soft in the store, but then when you leave and you go to use it, it's not really that absorbent? It's basically a towel that is leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels, towels that actually work. I know, it's totally mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors. I have the sage green and the white. I love them. And right now, you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code Jenna. That's J-E-N-N-A. So go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have a 60-day money-back guarantee. So to receive this amazing offer on the six-piece towel set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and enter promo code Jenna, that's J-E-N-N-A, or call 1-800-564-8475. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Jenna.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.